December 27, 2016 is the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Pedro Show. I am Pedro, but not with Brother Matt because he's indisposed this week and next week because of the holiday madness. But thinking of you, Brother Matt, very much, he sent me a card, or actually he handed it to me, and it said, "Dude, thank you for being born last week." I was very righteous of Brother Matt. And I'm at my pad, but I'm not alone because of the wonders of those engineers, software programmers in Estonia and Skype. The world of Lawrence, Kansas is brought right here to Pedro and a special guest, Gnarly Davidson. Hey there, Franklin.
Hey, guys. Or hey, Mike.
Yeah, just
Mitch
me alone.
Mitch and Sam are here, too.
Hello. All three of us, okay? So Mitch, Sam, Franklin. Gnarly Davidson.
Yeah.
We start off the show with John Coltrane doing Iris, and then we heard Horizontal Man by Gnarly Davidson. That just came out.
Yeah, that's actually going to come out this next year. It's
not out quite yet. So everybody, I gave you a preview of things that will come to be.
That's right.
Let's start with you, Franklin. What's your earliest music memory?
Earliest music memory? My mom really liked Joni Mitchell. I remember listening to Joni Mitchell when I was young.
So in the pad.
Yeah.
Playing records.
Yeah, yeah. It must have been. I don't really remember the records, but yeah, it must have been. And my dad, I remember when we would go on family vacations, my dad had a copy of Legend by Bob Marley on tape that he'd always play.
In the car.
Yeah, in the car.
What about players? Was your mom or your pop, were they musicians?
No. Nobody in my family really played music.
Do you remember
actually.
The first record you bought yourself?
Man. I remember I bought a cassette tape of... It was a Beach Boys cassette, and it was called Still Cruisin'. And I remember reading it, and I thought it said Still Crushing. And when I was like... I must have been like maybe 7 or 8, and I thought that was a really cool name. And then later on, I found out it was Still Cruisin'.
Yeah,
but I like the Beach Boys
probably.
And Alice Cooper. Beach Boys and Alice Coopers were some of my
music
early
music probably wasn't
tapes.
Too crushing.
Maybe yeah, still coupe, crushing.
Maybe the Coop was a little more crushing.
Yeah.
Which Coop record?
Oh, man, it was the one with Desperado on it.
Killer.
Yeah.
Yeah, that came with a calendar, I remember.
It was a cassette tape, so I don't remember if it came with anything or not.
Were you still like 7 or 8?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you first got into cassettes as far as ownership.
Yeah, that was the main thing when I was 7 or 8, because that would have been like in 1991 or 2.
Well, you can make your own fucking cassettes. That's the righteous thing about them. So you probably made mixtapes after a while.
Yeah, I did end up making mixtapes eventually, but I never got super into it, because by the time I was like, by the time CDs came around, I was in like 4th or 6th grade or something.
Yeah.
And then so by the time I was in like late junior high or high school, you could make mix CDs, and that was the big deal.
Okay. Less hiss. Okay. Who wants to go next? Mr. Sam?
Go ahead, man.
Sam's up next.
Okay, Sam, what's your earliest music memory?
Well, when I was in preschool, there was a teacher that we had named Mr. Elwood, and he made sure and gave us like all of these percussion instruments and stuff like that, and it was like, I don't know, I really started loving music right then. Then my dad took us to see Peter Noon of Hermits at the Daryl Starbird car show over at Century 2 in Wichita, Kansas. And I remember that being a really awesome experience, like with my brother Will. And my dad.
That's the capital, huh? Or is it Topeka?
I'm sorry?
Is Wichita the capital, or is it Topeka?
No, it's Topeka, Kansas.
Yeah, it's Topeka. So sorry. No disrespect for Kansas. They are close.
Oh, not at all, man.
They are close. In fact, there's a little toll road there. Right?
I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time hearing you.
I think there's like a toll road, like, you know, most of, what is it, I-70?
Oh, yeah, I-70.
Yeah, but then there's a little stretch of toll road there. Yeah, okay. Did anybody play in your families? You never heard music at home?
My Uncle Sam played the accordion. Still does.
Did he come over to the pad? Do you remember hearing him there?
Oh, yeah, especially, like, during Christmas time, like, just him playing We Three Kings and it just annoying the hell out of my grandma.
Okay.
And my mom.
Your grandma, so that's her son.
Yeah.
She probably bought him his first one.
Yeah.
That kind of fucking karma, huh?
And, you know, my grandma, she played, like, organ and stuff.
Oh, so you do have some music in the house then?
Just a little bit. Like, my parents really didn't play, but my dad was really into prog rock and, like, Jethro Tull.
So you heard that in the house?
I'm sorry?
You heard that in the house.
Oh, yeah, a lot.
And you remember that gig with Henry VIII and Mrs. Brown, you got a lovely daughter.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He was like the only guy, you know, in those days, this is what I remember when I was a boy, 60s, English guys didn't sing with their own accents except that guy. And maybe Syd Barrett.
Yeah.
And maybe after that, I don't know, Mark Bolan, David Bowie. But a lot of guys copied U.S. blues guys. It was so funny to hear, when you'd hear Robert Plant or Roger Daltrey talk, they didn't talk like they sang.
Oh, yeah.
It's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. It was just, that's when I think of Herman's Hermits.
It's kind of like with Ozzy Osbourne, where you can't understand anything he says, but when he sings, like, you actually can hear, like, every word he's saying.
Yeah, but I think part of the Herman shtick was, like, singing with the over-exaggerated Cockney accent or something.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, moving on over. We got to get the third guy.
Let's go to Mitch.
Yeah, here's Mitch.
Mitch? Okay.
Oh.
Earliest
music
memory, Mitch. My dad
was always singing and playing. He was a harmonica player, blues harp.
So you heard it in the house while he's doing practice.
Yeah,
right?
He was always, like, singing me to sleep and stuff as a kid, so I think he's probably the primary source of my...
But he listened to a lot of blues records?
A lot of blues records, really a lot more folk and singer-songwriters, a lot of, like...
The Bob Dylan way?
More country type, Lyle Lovett, Jerry Jeff Walker.
Okay. Not so much Little Walter.
Yeah.
But, I mean, everybody's bad on the harp, I respect. So you had it in the house all the time. So do you remember the first record you bought?
Oh, I remember asking for, I can't remember which record it was. I'd already started looting my dad's tape collection, all the REM tapes, and whatever the... It had to be like my 8th birthday or something. I'm 28 now, but it was an REM record. I can't remember the first one, though.
But you bought it.
Yeah.
That's happening. Look, I'm going to play this tune here, Jabberjaw. Now, this did already come out, right? Last month.
Yeah, this came out through Replay Records, the bar we play at a lot in Lawrence.
They got their own label.
Yeah, they put out 7 inches mostly, and they've got a killer compilation of Lawrence artists from a few years back.
Okay, let's listen.
Thank you. Num num thumbs, strumming on his gums, humming gone hymns and slums for crumbs, bumming some combs from his ho-hum chums, gloms tons of tones for their tom-tom phones, honing bomb drones under commie gnomes, spoon-fed goons live in oily domed homes, coming dumps one, stunning as guns, running up nuns with funny-ass puns. Troubled lungs lunge on rims of foam, someone flung loungy sins of the tongue. None are outdone, one spun unsung. We won't rerun, but guns were expunged. Calling dulled ones, thrumming glum drums, becomes funding sums from yum yum rums. Rotund bundle shunned under dull suns, succumbed to be numb under plum dummy scum. Burning bungle bones, trundle tummy pumps, turning on jungle juice just for the Jones. One plus one bust muscle toned rumps, income is spun from smutty old trumps. So num num is bummed, his summing up done. A dilly dally donut just doesn't front. Underdone spum jumps up from the young, full of funny money from one dumb cunt.
There was Granddad on the porch in his boxer. If I clean that bird, I can have him for breakfast. I didn't tell him I would rather have fruit loops. He might stay in bed for a week, but he'll skin a rattlesnake with his teeth. Mountain, he keeps the fogies at bay. He'll take you down to Mexico if you need a shave. His vast sum of knowledge towers over the crowd. He'll tell you how to recognize a cumulus cloud. He'll always be a man amongst men. His initials are MCM. Got a chip on his shoulder and he'll knock your block off. But his wife, Donna, always knows where the buck stops. Might wonder how he made it this far. The principal, he doesn't drive those Japanese cars. He might try to act mean and hard, but his dog's got his boots in the yard.
It's been a delight to spend the whole night with you in my arms. The music is right, the flickering light reveals all your charms.
At 7 o'clock, the crow of the cock says we've not been to bed yet.
Holding you closely and dancing till morning with the whole night with you here in my arms. The music is right, the flickering light reveals all your charms.
At 7 o'clock, the crow of the cock says we've not been to bed yet.
Holding you closely and dancing till morning with
Watch for Pedro show, we heard Jabberjaw, Gnarly Davidson. What's that song about?
Jabber, that's a Mitch song.
Oh,
that's give it to us, Mitch.
Mostly on the surface, that's just about, you're just trying to, like, slide through a crowded room on the weekend, and someone corners you and talks you to death in the middle of your pilgrimage across the party, I guess.
Actually, it's even more special when the magic of alcohol is involved, because they can't really hear you unless they get very, very close.
Right, yeah. Right.
And everybody has to be yelling in the first place.
Yeah. And then you get the free shower.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I gotta get the picture. We had a pad here in a Koreatown called Jabberjaw for a while. Man, yeah, it sounded like a roller rink. They should have hung some rugs up or something. Maybe Jim, you know, at the smell, that guy was involved, I think. And same problem there. You can't have too live of a room, you know?
Right.
But it was DIY. It was pretty happy.
People are going to talk at a show no matter what, so you kind of have to have a place for them to talk.
Or yeah, just no, gonna, I was yeah. talking more about the acoustics. This Jabberjaw pad, I guess it was a coffee place at first, and it was just too much,
too much
like
tile.
A bowling alley. Yeah, not enough stuff to soak up a reflective sound sources, you know. Then we heard Chris Kroger out of Austin with Hummin' Tombstone. The 210's Not All Right. They might be SoCal. Kings of Lower Town from Canada with Burning Black Diesel, brand new. Bucky Pope out of Madison, Wisconsin. He used to have a band in the 80s called Tar Babies, SST Band. He toured with. Ode to NCM, Just Guitars. He's got a new trio. He's getting more new batch songs ready with. The False Narrative, You Only Complicate Things from the Blueprint Conspiracy. That's over in Massachusetts. Light, brand new album. Cubic and the tune Warp. They're out of Tokyo. Flat 5, It's Been a Delight. Damn, I don't know where the Flat 5 is from. But cool people at Bloodshot flowed that to me. It's a trip. I think there's some where in Midwest, maybe Illinois. And then finally, Brinkland Brothers, Goodbye the Coastline. That's Joe Dean's proj, and he's got Minuteman, Firehose, drummer George Hurley on board. Back with Gnarly Davidson.
Hey.
Okay, since...
Hey, man.
Mitch wrote that last fucking song, let him go first. When did you first start playing, and how'd that happen?
Oh, my dad had an old, like, Tysco guitar in the house, and I tried to learn on that, but it needed adjustments, and I don't know.
Yeah, what made you want to do that? Why did you want to learn the guitar?
I don't know. I don't remember it, but my mom told me when I was really young that there were two of those guitars, and that me and my dad used to just, like, hammer on them in the basement. When I was, I don't even remember it. So I think it was just kind of planted in my head.
Oh, wow. So you are actually doing it before you even were conscious of it.
Well, I didn't.
That's happened.
Yeah. I didn't start to learn until I was like 14, though. So.
And there was problems with this guitar. You had to get another one or get it set up?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So you're like 14, so junior high. What'd you start doing? Did you do lessons? Did you learn off records? Did you just start writing your own shit?
There was this tiny little scene in southeastern Kansas, and I started going to shows, punk shows, and just, a guitar player quit in one of my friend's bands, and that's when I started playing, so.
They needed you.
Yeah, and I knew their songs, so I'd hang out at band practice and stuff anyway, so it was kind of
so you learned by doing, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, what about Sam?
Well, in fifth grade, there were a couple guys that wanted to start a band. I was like, yeah, I'd be into it.
But you're not playing yet. You want to be in a band, but you ain't playing yet.
Well, no, yeah, it was like, well, we started something. And then so we started playing, like, I got a guitar. My dad got me a guitar, which was so awesome.
I want to tell you, Sam, in the old days, a lot of people wanted to, when the movement got started, a lot of people wanted to be in bands, and they never had played before. Like, Eric Floyd told me about this thing in Austin. They would even put out flyers. They'd never even played one song. They don't even know who's going to be on drums. So don't worry about wanting to be in a band and you don't have to know how to play yet. That's an old tradition.
I hear you. And so, like, and we were just terrible. Like, we started the band and we, like.
Well, how did you get on what you got on, though?
How did I get on it?
Yeah.
Get on guitar.
Oh, well, my dad, like, I told my dad that I'd be interested in getting a guitar and stuff, and he actually went and got me one. Did he make the deal like C major? What?
Did he make the deal like, if I get you this guitar, you gotta take lessons?
He was like, I believe he was a firm believer. He was like, you know what? It seems like something he wants to do. You know?
Well, like, a lot of people tell me that their parents, part of the deal, they'll get you the instrument, but you gotta take lessons.
No, absolutely. Well, and, you know, I did take a little bit of lessons, but then the rest of it was just like I just started playing by myself.
Do you remember the teacher?
Oh, yeah, Sterling Gray. He was amazing.
It's like,
and we started playing in this band.
It's like Sterling Hayden. You know, that name is like a cross between Sterling Hayden and Spalding Gray.
Yeah, dude. I got to tell you, he is an amazing guitarist, too. You would not believe it.
But you quit him and you went on your own.
He's a Wichita, like, legend. And he even, like, teached over at WSU.
Uh-huh.
So, but I was going to say that we played in this band.
What were they called?
My first band was called Corona, but it was spelled with a K.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because Matt Larson's dad really liked Corona. And he was like, that's a cool name. I was like, all right.
I think it's Spanish for crown.
Yeah. So, and I thought that was funny, you know, also with the Corona. Like, I got to ask you, with that song, who decided to come up with that song for the Minutemen? Corona.
Who decided? D. Boone wrote it.
Yeah. He wrote it. Okay. Was it like, what was it about?
I'll tell you the story to give me a chance. We did a little trip to Mexico, me, D. Boone, and Georgie, on the 4th of July, 1983. And, he ended up writing that song after the trip. And I wrote a song called I Felt Like a Gringo on Buzzer Hal.
Oh, shit.
And you know what? It might have been the summer of 82. It was either 82 or 83. Anyway, we got two songs out of that trip. I mean, D. Boone, first time in our lives, cut our heads bald. And we didn't know you had to use clippers. We used one of them fucking single blade Bic razors.
Oh, shit.
Our heads looked like a motocross, you know, dirt track kind of shit. A lot of blood. Luckily, I went first. I had a little less. But that's where that came. And it was a lady picking up bottles. We didn't like that beer, man. Anything with a clear bottle's got formaldehyde in it.
Yeah.
That's why beer bottles are dark. The sun, yeah, it's a gimmick. Anyway, so you guys were called Corona. That was your first band. Okay.
Yeah.
What about you, Frank? How did you get on?
I started playing with my brother.
Oh, okay. What about Franklin? When did Franklin first play? And how?
It sounds really goofy, but I remember I kind of like drums, and then I saw that movie, That Thing You Do, with Tom Hanks, and the main character is like the drummer. And for whatever reason, like when I was a kid, I think I was like 11 or 12, I thought like I really wanted to be a drummer because of that movie, which is weird because like I probably haven't even seen that movie since more than once.
I ain't seen it at all, so that's okay. Yeah. You're way more educated than I am about that movie. But look, whatever, you know, there's an old saying, it's not where you're from, it's where you're at. Whatever got you to it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. And then I started learning it. There's this local, their local teacher, Clark Jameson, who's still around.
Gave you drum lessons?
He taught me drum set.
Who bought you the first drum set?
My parents.
Okay, that's very cool of them. Usually
yeah,
you
it
buy
was really cool.
Friends you don't like so much drum sets for their kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, look, very, very important. With Mitch and Sam, it sounds like two guitars, but this band has a bass.
Yeah, Sam switched over to bass eventually.
Yeah.
Well, you got to talk about that.
Yeah, man. What do you got to say about the bass, Sam?
I originally started with guitar, and then a friend of mine was like, hey, do you want to play bass in the band? I was like, all right, I'll give it a whirl. Like, and then I just kind of just play it like a guitar.
It just all buzzed out. Someone was missing a bass in their band, so you came to save
the
day.
And then I just became a bass player, and I've been a bass player for, 15 years now. So,
Actually, isn't that how you got in a band? Somebody needs you for the band?
Yeah. It was just
are you middle child?
No, I'm the oldest.
Because usually the middle child is always trying to make people feel better, right?
Well, I am a Virgo.
Well, maybe that's got something to do. Hey, look, we're at the end of the first hour, December 27, 2016, Dishwap Fido Show. Special guest, Darnie Davidson from Lawrence, Kansas. Hold tight for hour two. December 27, 2016, it's the second hour of the Watford Pedro Show.
prospects were flown.
for Pedro Show. Started the second hour off with Coffin Nail by Gnarly Davidson. Tell us about that.
That's a Sam song.
Yeah.
It's just about a bad relationship and when you just have to say you're done with it.
Because I thought, you know, the slang is usually for cigarette.
Exactly. Okay. And, you know, there is a part where it's just like, I do say you were my vice, and, you know, like, yeah, you can just say that that's also, you know, cigarette and stuff.
Unless
like,
you're too or, healthy.
Yeah. Yeah, bad habit. It's just a bad habit you got to get rid of.
Okay. Well, this January, next month, it's 4 years for me.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It's good for the
Congrats,
health.
Dude.
I like cigarettes, but not when it comes to health. Yeah. And I just turned fucking 59. So,
yeah. Dude.
Yeah. This guy, I had this cough, and it, when I stopped the smoking, the cough went away, so I started using some mathematics to put it together.
Yeah. Hey, okay. How'd you quit? Did you go cold turkey?
Yeah. A little bit of like 3 day Jones. I think some people, it's tougher. I know Brother Steve and Sammy, Scotty-san and Stooges, it was rough Jones on those guys. And so I was lucky. I think it was a little more psychological. But yeah. I know people, it's harder for them to quit cigarettes than heroin. So everybody's different. And I think I'm a little lucky that way. But when I see cats smoke now, it's like, you know what? I feel better not. But I would never judge anybody. Anyway, I was just curious about that. I like the song a lot. Negative Scanner from Chicago with Pity after that. Harm Bug from BBS. That's a Sonia De Marinaio drummer man, Andrea Belfi, Proj out of Berlin. Then his own solo thing, Sarah Parasit number 2. The guitar man from Sonia De Marinaio, Stefano Palia with Getsamani Crickets Night Air. So, yeah, that might be a name of a town I can't pronounce. Scoozy. And finally, out of Belgium, Billions of Comrades with Torch. Okay, so now I know how all three got on your instruments, your music machines. Now, how did Gnarly Davidson come together?
Gnarly, well, it's been about 3 years. The original story had to do with Mitch. He was working at a pawn shop. And he had the idea for the name of the band and, like, one riff. And then he kind of asked us. We all work in, like, the same, like, downtown area of Lawrence, Kansas.
I was hanging flyers for the replay. And Sam would be bartending on my flyer day. And I came in, told him about the band name. He's like, hey, man, we should do that. And then my first stop on the flyer route was Love Garden, the record store where Franklin works. And was like, hey, we need a drummer. He's like, I play drums. It kind of fell together.
But you guys kind of knew each other before.
Sort of.
Nobody's really from Lawrence, right?
I moved here when I was 7, so I'm basically from Lawrence.
Okay, you're more Lawrence than the other cats. Okay.
Yeah.
So what, does everybody come to town for school?
Yeah, that was... I wasn't really into school, but I used it as an excuse to move up here, I think.
Okay. That's okay.
It's kind of like the cool place in Kansas to move when you're from, like, a smaller place that's, like, pretty conservative sort of thing.
In a bigger town.
Yeah. I don't know why did you... Do you move here with Sam for school, Sam?
No, I was living in Kansas City for a little bit because I was
across
working...
across the river.
It was like Kansas City, Kansas.
Oh, like, wow. You know, I got to play there once. It was opening for Primus.
Oh, no way. Where?
It was at like an auditorium or something, city building.
Yeah, municipal auditorium. Yeah.
It was a weird gig, not too good a sound, but, I've always driven through there. I never played through there, and I just thought it was a trip to do it once.
Yeah.
So, I lived there for a little bit, and then my brother was actually getting ready to move to Lawrence to go to school, and I was like, well, you know, I could commute, like, to work and everything. So then I moved to Lawrence, and I've been here for 12 years.
Okay.
And everything.
So the band actually started with a name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember the first jam?
Yeah, well, the first jam was actually, we didn't have a place to play, and I didn't know this at first, but me and Mitch were neighbors, and I have a house, and he was living in, like, this five apartment complex next to me, and I didn't really know that for a while.
Right next door.
Literally next door. And then so I set up my drums in my living room, and he brought over a guitar, and we kind of, like, jammed through a few songs.
So the living room turned into the practice pad.
Yeah. Then the first real practice was we rented a space at this spot called Seed Co., which is like an artist rent space there, and they also have practice spaces. And that was in like February or January of 2014.
Okay. We must have played together in November.
Something.
Yeah, so it was that year, I remember.
Oh, yeah. That was
Bottleneck.
The Bottleneck.
Yeah, that was like, early November, late September, something like that.
And that's with them guys. That's with them guys where I just played music, El Sueño de Marinayo.
Yeah.
Italian guys.
Yeah.
They dug it. That was their first time to Lawrence.
Yeah, Lawrence is pretty cool. You've probably been through Lawrence a few times, huh?
Yeah.
You were here like, you weren't even here like,
I played with
like
the Moto,
6 months ago?
I played with the Moto Micronauts.
Yeah.
At the
Did
school.
Did you play in the outhouse ever?
Yeah, of course, many, many times. In the fall, in the spring, completely different look.
Yeah.
Because of the corn, yeah. But we even played the school with the Moto Micronauts, KU.
Oh, really?
Minuteman, yeah. Some, I don't know, auditorium or multi-purpose room or something. There's a video of us doing Jesus and Tequila. But, yeah, many, many Lawrence. And actually Kansas City, too. There used to be a club there called Fool Killers.
I don't know if I remember that
it's
one.
It's early 80s. I don't think you guys...
Yeah, that's a little too old for me.
No, just less younger. Not too old. Less younger.
Less younger, yeah.
We got rid of that old word. There's more young and less young.
You were here like 6 months ago for that like...
Anyway, I was invited it was actually last summer, yeah.
Yeah.
It was to open up for a movie on The Damned.
That's right.
And it was actually it was like an arts center.
Yeah, that was that was the Lawrence Arts Center.
Okay. And very nice people had us board, and it was so trippy to open up for a movie, but got to do Funhouse with Rat Scabies. I've got a friend there, Kevin Kelly, who's lived in your town a long time. He's a what do you call it? Jayhawk. And always conking his pads. Yeah, I've been there many times. But it was the first time for the Italian guys. But anyway, that must have been early in the band's career.
Yeah, right. There.
I played a couple things on the radio show. Actually, it's like called Gnarly Davidson. I think I played part two, part three, and now I'm going to play part one. It was a cassette with four parts.
Yeah,
these guys made these things while you were watching wrestling.
Yeah, okay. That's right.
Let's lose.
Sorry about that.
Block for Pedro show. Yeah, part one, Gnarly Davidson from their eponymous debut cassette. Gnarly Davidson. Then Babes, New York City with Oh Baby, Oh Yeah. Corey Hansen after that, Flu Moon. That's got Heather Locke, Viola, she's guest last week. Blood Quartet, String Theory, Buddy Bradley. I think that Blood Quartet's got some cap from Mars. Remembers No Wave stuff. No New York, I think that was the record. Long time ago. I remember we made a record in, well, we didn't, but the scene here in SoCal. It was called Yes, L.A. And then Buddy Bradley, Murnau B., and finally Zigzags with Rip and Death. They're from SoCal. We're at the end of second hour, 2016, December 27, Dish and Walk Pedro Show, hold tight for hour three. December 27, 2016, it's the third hour of the Watt Pedro Show. Thank you.
Thank you.
For Pedro Show, start off the third hour with Big Boot One and Spino Urchin music song out of Cologne, Germany. 5-year plan, Slouch. They're out of Sheffield, England. Exterminators, that you, that's got Don Bowles, that's Phoenix, Arizona, before he joined the Germs. And finally, Alice Bag with the brand new demo, Tilt. She's course, from the Bags, which was the first punk gig me and D Boone ever went and saw, and it was very profound. I saw it, and I looked at D Boone. I said, "We can do this." It just fucking fell out of my mouth. Look, what about this Boot One? Because we also got Boot Two. What's the boot, the big boot idea?
Oh, that's some more. That's some professional wrestling inspired songwriting.
Yeah.
I used to see a lot with Pettibone. You know, we saw a lot of live wrestling, and my favorite guy was Big Don Morocco.
Sweet.
Do you remember him, Don Morocco?
No.
Yeah, he kind of invented this thing called the pile driver.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah. We're all familiar with that.
But what's really good about Morocco, Don Morocco, I think he lived in Hawaii or something, but his spiels, you know, and the beefs, they were the best. I also liked Terry Funk.
Oh, yeah, dude. Terry
spitting,
Funk.
Spitting tobacco down the chin and then ends up branding your ass. They beat you. Yeah. Actually, he's from a whole family. His daddy did it. His brothers did it. And Texas guys, I think. But, what's the wrestling connect with Big Boot and Gnarly Davis?
We had that song. So my boss at the record store, Kelly, is really into wrestling. And so him, he's like the local wrestling, like...
He's like a historian.
Yeah, he's like the local wrestling, like, dictionary. So, like, and he has the same birthday as Mitch. So sometimes Mitch and him were, like, talking about wrestling. So he decided to write all these lyrics about wrestling. We had the song before the lyrics for this one. Long before.
You mean the music or the concept?
Yeah, we had the music done. We had the music for Big Boot 1 and Big Boot 2 as one huge song. Yeah. And we kind of split it up. But then, yeah, the idea for it to be about wrestling came after we had, like, written most of the song from Mitch.
Ah, well, thank you. Thank you very much for your boss.
He's a...
You know what? I forgot to ask you about the first Gnarly Davidson gig. What was that like?
Oh, the first gig?
First gig was in the basement of the 8th Street Tap Room in Lawrence, Kansas. And it was... I had a friend visiting town who is currently living in Chico, California.
College town.
Yeah, and he...
Cali 99, it's near Red Bluff where my pop grew up. I know about Chico.
Yeah, they got beer there too, right? Isn't there, they're like a beer brewery?
Probably nowadays.
Yeah.
It's not in the older days. They used to grow Mota out there. Brother Steve McKay picked Mota in Chico for a year, he told me, in the early 70s.
Sweet. Yeah, so my friend came in, him and his girlfriend have a band together, and they came into town and were going to book a show, and since I'm his friend, like, our bands didn't really go together that well, but he had us play, and then another friend of ours played, and it was just, like, a really weird...
Eclectic show.
Yeah, it was a really eclectic, it was really cool, though, That's so we did okay. that, and then...
Music's music.
Yeah. Yeah,
you don't always music. All want to be playing the same song, it's
okay. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was our first show. That was fun. We got really drunk, and we used the money from the door to buy beer for the audience. That was really fun.
Were you guys scared? First gig? Or were you hard chargers?
Man, I haven't gotten nervous for a gig in years and years. I don't know why. I couldn't tell you why, but I don't really get nervous.
I get pretty nervous. Okay. Before gigs still. It just depends on the day, I guess.
Yeah, that sounds natural. So you got plans. You got something coming out. We played at the beginning of the show, right? Horizontal Man?
Yeah, Horizontal Man and Big Boot are both going to be coming out this year with this Kansas City label called High Dive.
You're talking 2017,
yeah. Yeah. And we've been talking to them, and they're interested in releasing some stuff. And then we just recorded all that stuff at the beginning of the month here in town.
Kansas City, Missouri.
Lawrence, they're based out of Kansas City, Missouri.
Well, because I was confused. Usually that's what everybody always means. You know who's from that town? Charlie Parker.
That's right.
I mean, there's a lot of fucking tough cats playing cats. It's a music town. The old days, the Blues Emporium... They'd let punk bands play on Mondays. There was that Fool Killers. That Fool Killers was community supported.
Yeah.
So, trippy. Okay, let's hear Big Boot number 2. Everybody, we're getting a little sneak preview.
Reason to stay in the ghetto. I've got a reason to wait for.
brotherly, what's feeling brotherly, brotherly?
company, it was a grey sand, much like one would imagine the surface of the moon is like. The sky above was a bright orange, like a vat of sunny delight turned upside down. And in the sky burnt an even brighter orange spot. It was not long before the sun set over the horizon. I was alone in a strange alien world beneath a sky like a thousand diamonds thrown across the horizon.
Watch for Pedro Show, last music for this edition. Gnarly Davidson with Big Boot number 2. And then Gradovi, the extended mix from Vasco Atanasovski. That's out of Skopje, Macedonia. Vasco. The Guts with Necklace after that. This is, I think, south part of London, these bands. Zad with the tune Zad. And finally, The Yule Cat by the Dire Sister. D-Y-R. Dire. Trippy. Must be English. So plans for the band. You got these recordings coming out. What about touring? You ever going to play Cali?
Yeah, we want to try to make it out there, but it's hard to...
Maybe Chico.
It's hard to get out there because I don't want to... It's hard to get out there because I don't want to book... I got a book on the way out there, and I haven't found enough places to get out there. I don't just want to have to drive out there, you know?
That's right. There's a big space in between. There's the Rocky Mountains.
Yeah. I've heard there's a bunch of places in Colorado.
What you need is you need some Denver or Fort Collins or Boulder, or Salt Lake City, or then south, maybe Santa Fe, Berkey.
Yeah,
Phoenix. Flagstaff, Tucson. But, there's only a few. People don't know. Well, people in vaudeville will tell you. But there's bigger spaces when you get out west. But once you make it to I-5, then you can go up and down there and hit a bunch of towns. It'd be really bitching to see you guys out here.
Yeah, but, I'd like to make it out there.
What about the other way? You ever thought about touring in the Midwest and the East?
Yeah, we mostly have done Midwest. We've done like 3 long Midwest tours.
The
and,
big town, Chicago.
Yeah, we went up to Chicago a few times. We haven't had a good show there yet for some reason, but we've been up there. We like
a lot
Milwaukee
of people,
a lot.
A lot of people don't know that for the Midwest, Chicago is the big town.
Yeah,
The coast they fool themselves. They don't understand.
Second city, right?
Yeah. Big shoulders. I like all the towns. If you want my opinion. Yeah, I like playing everywhere. And it'd be neat if there was more towns in between and some other towns, of course.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm going to be out your way in May with the Meat Puppets.
Cool.
Here's what I ask everybody on the show. Advice.
Advice for...
Yeah, some younger dude getting into music.
Oh, man. Let's see.
I don't know, man. When I was young, I used to play to everything I liked. I would like put on headphones and just play to for like hours. And I think that was really good. Cause I lived out in the country, so I couldn't, my friends had to get like rides out to my house. So I didn't get to play with people for a long time. I just had to play drums just by myself.
Yeah.
So that was the big thing, is listening to drummers that I wanted to sound like. Or like their style and like learn all their fills, you know, and like learn how to play everything. And then eventually, you know, your own style becomes this like melting pot of these other 30 drummers' styles.
So you should work at it. Your advice is to work at music.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got to work at it. And you got to, especially for the first few years, you got to like be able to practice and have fun.
Coltrane was into practice. I think that's great advice. I want to thank you guys so much for being on the show. I can't wait for you to come out here. I'll come see you.
Yeah.
Maybe
we'll let you know
together.
If we make it out there.
Yeah, maybe even play together. Who knows?
I'd love to. That'd be awesome.
Our last time we got to share a stage.
Yeah, that was great.
Okay, good luck to all three righteous.
All right, thanks, man. A lot.
Thank you.
December 27, 2016 edition of Wofford Pedro Show. Everybody, keep your powder dry.